Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Caritas. Today is August 22nd, 2019. Thank you so much for joining me. The topic of today's podcast is going to be centered around none other than the Federal Reserve. I wish this wasn't necessarily the case, but this is where we are. And the reason it's going to be centered around the Federal Reserve once again is because U.S. markets in particular, but no doubt about it, global markets are once again on pins and needles, awaiting the remarks expected out tomorrow on the 23rd of August from Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve. Recall, the central bankers are attending their annual retreat out in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Why are they getting together? What are they talking about? What are they coordinating? Remember, yesterday's podcast was all the world's a stage. What's the end game here? Are these central bankers coordinating? There's no question about it. They're coordinating. Everybody is cutting interest rates. The President of the United States wants the Federal Reserve to also continue to cut interest rates, although at a much faster pace. He also wants them to embark on another round of quantitative easing. And we have other central banks who are getting ready to prime their presses and to embark on other rounds for their versions of quantitative easing, particularly that of the European Central Bank, the ECB, because we had their meeting minutes come out. Those were released. And what did they say? Well, they're a lot more pessimistic on growth and inflation. And so once again, we continue to see the whipsaw movements of global equities, but here in particular, the European equities, because the meetings came out from the ECB, not so rosy, not as good as everybody was maybe thinking. I don't know who these people are. I don't know what data they're looking at that makes them think for any second that everything is going to be just fine and dandy. It's not. It's not. You don't get to run a decades-long monetary experiment with zero interest rate policy, with negative interest rate policy, with quantitative easing and think you're just going to walk away scot-free. That's not how it works, sorry. And nobody's going to fess up to this. Nobody's going to say we made a mistake. There is no leadership. There are no leaders. There's puppets. There are people who are put out in front of us. We were given the illusion that somebody is in control. We were given the illusion that we have presidents and prime ministers. Who's really pulling the strings here at the end of the day? Because something is truly amiss, and we talked about that yesterday. We talk about that almost here daily, that something is amiss and what is going on. But right now, this is what the markets are focused on. Now, I'm not even going to go through the rundown today of our typical news with the S&P 500 and oil and that all that jazz, because everything was relatively flat. There wasn't anything to write home about, because, again, the markets are simply waiting for what Jerome Powell is going to say tomorrow. This is utterly ridiculous. But again, this is where we find ourselves. And I hope those of you who have been with us here at the Capital News for a while, and those of you who are just joining, I hope you're understanding that we don't live in a free market capitalistic society anymore. This is not free market economics. Not even close. Not even close. When you have the president coming out in thunder thumbs making tweets, and markets move to the degree that they have moved over the course of the past year in particular, in the midst of the U.S.-China trade war, this isn't free markets. It's market manipulation. When you have the Federal Reserve, the central theme in the spotlight as to what they're going to say, we don't have free markets. This is a rigged game. This is very, very wrong. What the Federal Reserve does is no doubt market manipulation. But that's what they've been doing for years. They have a dual mandate, the Federal Reserve does. A lot of other central banks just have a single mandate. They're just tasked with keeping inflation in check. They target inflation and then they do their best to get there. Okay. The Federal Reserve has a dual mandate. Price stability, which you could say is maintaining low inflation, should be zero. That should be the target, because you're not going to get any more stable than that. It should be zero. That's as stable as you're going to get. Year over year cost changes, there is none. That would be stable. and then to achieve full employment. Well, again, we've said here many, many times that the Federal Reserve can check those two boxes, right? We have a 50-year low of unemployment at 3.6, 3.7%. And they tell us all the time that inflation is extremely low. And Thunder Thumbs tells us on a near daily basis as he attacks the Federal Reserve, telling them to go ahead and cut interest rates because there's no inflation in this country. Although, what Donald Trump also tells us in those tweets is, look, we're playing a game here. Germany is paying negative yields on their government debt. Evidently, that is what the president wants to have happen here in the United States. Is he unaware of what is taking place in Europe? Is he unaware that negative interest rates are destroying the financial markets and the financial system in Europe? That banks are in dire straits, that financial companies are in dire straits, because that's how financial companies work, folks. They collect premiums, they use a lot of that money, and they go out and they buy bonds with it, and they invest it, and they take in the interest. Well, they're not earning anything if it's negative interest bonds. So this is something that doesn't get a lot of attention in the markets, on the mainstream media. That you have a lot of insurance companies who are in trouble. I mean, this is front and center with what we were just talking about last week, and throw in there the past couple of days as well, in regards to General Electric, with Harry Markopoulos and his team of forensic accountants coming out and saying, well, there's some fraud here in General Electric. Now, you can agree with this, you can disagree with this, you can do your homework as well. But a lot of that was pinpointed on GE's insurance unit. And if they go, if that's true, if Harry Markopoulos and his team are correct, and GE goes bankrupt or really has to suffer some more consequences of what they've already been suffering over the past few years, that is going to have major ripple effects throughout the economy, which we are already seeing. A global economy as well as a domestic economy that is slowing down and rolling over. We talk about this every day. Now, people refuse to believe it. They don't want to hear it. They think, oh, well, you know, it doesn't matter that the yield curve has inverted. It doesn't matter that PMI numbers are slowing down and rolling over. It doesn't matter that it appears that unemployment has troughed. It makes no difference. It makes no difference. We're just going to keep on going. We're just going to keep priming the presses. As long as Thunder Thumbs keeps tweeting everything's okay, then everything's okay. As long as the Federal Reserve keeps coming out and says, well, we're somewhat willing to continue to cut interest rates, then everything's okay. That's not how it works, folks. Diminishing marginal returns are kicking in. This is an experiment. I'm telling you, it's not going to work this time. It's not going to work, and it's going to be nasty for everybody. U.S. stocks reversed early gains and traded mostly lower on Thursday after PMI data for August pointed to the first contraction in the U.S. manufacturing activity in nearly 10 years. Nearly 10 years. Not good stuff, folks. Kansas City Federal Reserve President Esther George said in an interview with Bloomberg TV that there had been no need to cut interest rates last month and that she would be happy to leave rates at their current levels. So we continue to have the presidents and the members, the voting members of the Federal Reserve coming out making statements. Some are obviously in agreement. I mean, look, you put a bunch of economists in a room, you're going to have that many different opinions. That's no surprise. One of the problems is this causes volatility. Why? Because the idiots on Wall Street and everywhere else are anticipating what these people are going to say, what these pea brains are going to say, because that's what this is. It's a pea brain retreat out in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. That's what this is. And everybody's waiting to see what these idiots have to tell us. So we have Esther George coming out here as of late and saying, well, you know, I didn't want to cut interest rates last month, but we did, and I don't think we need to cut them again, so I'm happy with where we stand. Okay? She's from Kansas City. You have, I believe, Eric Rosengren, the president out of the Boston Bank for the Federal Reserve. He's been interviewed recently, too, and he's come out and he said, you know what, I don't think we need to cut interest rates either. Because he actually said that if we cut interest rates, that could actually be more harmful. You hear that? So maybe there is some semblance of sanity in the Federal Reserve. At least they're talking about it. Now, how they actually come down, that's really what we have to pay attention to. Not just the words, but the actions at the end of the day. Because there are nut jobs at the Federal Reserve who think we need to cut by 50 basis points and continue down that path. And I'm sure there are others in there who think we have to do quantitative easing again. We're against this. We're against this. This is manipulation. This is massive transfers of wealth from the middle and lower echelons of the income scale to the upper echelons of the income scale. We talk about that here all the time because that's exactly what it is. It's a massive wealth transfer. That's what inflation is. I mean, you'll even have some major hedge fund managers out there and some other big shot investors. They'll come out and admit this. There are still some people who will come out and admit this. Some of them, they dance around it. They still want to pat themselves on the back for being some sort of investment genius. But they know who, I mean, they know who's been buttering their bread. It's been the Federal Reserve. It's been central banks the world over. All you had to do is go out and buy something for the past 10 years, and you made money. If you had a couple brain cells to rub together, I mean, hell, you had Warren Buffett even go against you, if you recall that bet that he put on shortly after the financial crisis against a handful of hedge funds. He said, look, I'm just going to buy the Vanguard S&P 500 index, and you guys can do whatever you want. And after so many years, we'll see who outperforms who. Well, guess who won? Warren Buffett did. And he did nothing. He just bought the market and beat a whole bunch of hedge funds. So, I mean, all you had to do was buy something, and you would have done well over the past 10 years. Okay, as long as you didn't outsmart yourself and get too emotional, which is what happens, you would have been just fine. All right? Now, I don't think this is going to happen again once we are in the midst of the next recession, and I think it could even be closer to a depression, to be perfectly honest with you, because quantitative easing and a whole bunch of emergency monetary measures will not work. They won't work. This was a circus act that was seen and experienced for the past 10 years. They're not going to be able to go back into their bag of tricks and pull this out again and say, well, we're just going to rebrand it and call it something else, and then that's going to work, and we're going to have the same type of reflation and inflation trade that we have seen over the past 10 years, which have just lifted markets several hundred percent. I mean, it's ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous, and somehow people think that this can continue. I don't get it. I just don't. I could be 100% wrong, but I honestly doubt it. I honestly doubt it. That's just my stance on that. We also have some other news with the UK experiencing their worst sell-off in retail sales at the steepest pace since the Great Recession. So that's not good news out of the UK either. Again, just another piece of data that's coming confirming what we have been talking about, that the global economy is slowing down. Look, folks, this is what happens. This is the business cycle. It doesn't matter who's in the Oval Office. It doesn't matter who's at 10 Downing Street, you know, the residence of the Prime Minister of the UK. It doesn't matter who's sitting in any palace. It doesn't matter who's sitting in any White House. Go down the list. This is the business cycle. Despite the fact that these people come out and they try to manipulate these markets, and they do to a great extent, the markets, the broader economy, is more powerful than all of them combined. And that's a great thing, that still exists. It still exists. But we are far removed from free markets because of the amount of manipulation that exists, because of the amount of money printing that exists. I mean, that's not capital. That's counterfeit currency. If you turned on your printer and printed a whole bunch of dollars, they're going to lock you up and throw away the key. But these guys get to do it. They are sanctioned by government to continue to prime the press. And guess who gets that money first? The government gets it. Major banks get it. Major corporations get it first. Wealthy individuals get it first. And then they go out and they buy financial assets. They buy stocks, bonds, commodities, real estate. And then the inflation starts to make its way through, the effects of inflation start to make its way through the economy. And that is what is the wealth transfer. Because people are going to pay rent. People are going to buy commodities. People are going to end up buying stocks, but you're going to buy them later than what these banks get them at, what major corporations get them at, what major investors get them at. starting to get the picture. That's why this is a fraud. That's why if you want to solve the problem, that's what we say here on a near daily basis, end the Federal Reserve and abolish the federal income tax. You have to starve the beast. Otherwise, you're like a dog chasing its tail. It's going to be the same thing over and over again on the next two-year political cycle, the next four-year political cycle, etc., etc., etc. You have to wake up. I'm telling you, you want to solve the problems, that's what you have to do. And then we don't have to wait on pins and needles for Thunder Thumbs to come out and tweet something that everything's fine when it isn't. Or we don't have to wait for these pea brains from the Federal Reserve or the ECB or the BOJ or any other central bank to come out and say what they're going to do. Because that's what's happening. And now it's just hypersensitive to all of this because, again, I think people are understanding, they're starting to come to grips with the fact that we are headed for a recession. And everybody's just hoping that somehow one of these idiots can pull a rabbit out of their hat and their new bag of tricks, or their old bag of tricks, and it's going to work once again. It's not. It's not. Could there be some sort of melt-up? Could there be another jump to the upside? Sure. It could. It can always happen. There's always stupidity. There's always insanity. It's what we're in the midst of. I'm just playing the probabilities game. And I think it's more likely that we go down from here than we do up on any great notion or any great run-up, okay? But we'll see. We'll see. And I'll be the first to admit that, you know, I didn't see a huge melt-up coming, but that could be what happens. But we're going to see what happens with the Federal Reserve, what they say, because we're getting, again, some mixed messages. And I think that's somewhat of a disservice if we're going to play this game, because that is what has been really screwing around with these markets for quite a while, are the mishaps and the miscommunications coming from the Federal Reserve. Because it's August, almost the end of August already, so we only have to rewind 8-9 months ago when we were in December, and we had the Federal Reserve come out and saying, well, you know, we're on a hiking cycle here. We're on a hiking cycle. We're going to continue to hike this month here in December of 2018, and next year we're going to continue to hike probably 2, 3, maybe even 4 times in 2019. Stop the presses. That didn't happen. We saw a 10%, then a 20% decline in equity prices. You had Donald Trump go ballistic. You had Steven Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary of the United States, meet up with Wall Street's largest banks, which we're calling the Plunge Protection Team. That's not what I'm calling them. That's what they're called, the Plunge Protection Team. Look it up. Okay, this is 1984 George Orwell stuff. All right? And then lo and behold, you have Donald Trump come out and say, well, buy the dips, because they had a conversation with the world's largest banks here in the United States, and then everything seemed to be okay from there, and we experienced a V-shaped recovery ever since, and then obviously we've been consolidating and trading around those different ranges. But nevertheless, what's going on here? And then we had the 800-point drop-off last week, the largest one-day loss for 2019, and guess who Donald Trump spoke with again? He spoke with Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan. He spoke with the CEO of, I believe it was Citigroup, and he also spoke with the CEO of Bank of America. And then what happened on the following day? The markets rallied again. I'm telling you, folks, you just got to pay attention. I mean, what do you think they're talking about? Golf? Breakfast? Lunch? Dinner? I mean, come on. Wake up. This is ridiculous. Because I guarantee you, to my fiscal conservative friends out there, and this would be true too, when you go to Bill Clinton, meaning former Attorney General Loretta Lynch, on the tarmac in Arizona, you know they didn't just talk about grandchildren and golf, right? Because they didn't. Same thing here with Donald Trump. You know he's not just calling up these major banks on the day of a major sell-off to say, how you doing? Okay, so something's being done here. So you just got to wake up. It's not right. So again, getting back to the Federal Reserve and their communication mishaps, okay? Not going to continue with the hiking. We're going to do, nope, all right, stop it. We're not, that misspoke. Got a little ahead of ourselves here. Didn't mean to continue to raise interest rates by 25 basis points. I mean, that's it, folks. 0.25. Couldn't continue doing that. We're allegedly, according to Thunder Thumbs, in the midst of the greatest economy ever in the United States, yet somehow we cannot sustain 0.25% interest, an increase in interest rates. Slowly but surely, step by step. Can't do it. Can't do it. Well, then when are we going to go back? Do we have to remain at zero forever? Do we have to remain at 2% or lower forever? I mean, the amount of malinvestment that that's going to cost, the amount of leverage that's going to be added to the system. I mean, what do you think is going to happen at the end of the day when all of this debt comes home to roost? You don't have to be an economist or a financial expert to get this. This is common sense. So now they say, all right, well, we're going to do wait and see, which they did for several months. And then, obviously, the end of last month, they said, okay, well, now the data's come out that we think that we're going to cut interest rates, and that's exactly what they did by 25 basis points. And we're going to stop quantitative tightening, which was supposed to end in September, but they cut that short. We said that was the signal to watch for to see, are they understanding that there's actually some pretty powerful stuff going on there with quantitative tightening, too. If you're curious about that analysis, check out those podcasts. We did several on that. Oh, and now, last month, again, the key phrase that we have to pay attention to, unfortunately, is mid-cycle adjustment, which gave the notion from the Federal Reserve that this was going to be one cut and done. Then we had that one cut, and the markets have been extremely volatile ever since, which we predicted would be the case through the month of August, because the Federal Reserve does not have a meeting. A Federal Open Market Committee meeting, I should say. They have their annual retreat, obviously, but they don't have a monetary policy meeting where they're going to make a decision. And we have Congress on vacation. So nothing was going to get done, and the markets weren't going to have a whole bunch of headlines to look for. So that would mean that they would actually have to look at the underlying data that we talk about here on a daily basis. And once they look at that data, what are they going to do? Are they going to sell off? And that's exactly what we've seen, although we've had a whole bunch of attempts at manipulation. Again, the president calling up Wall Street banks, coming out and saying that the trade talks are still continuing, that everything's fine. I mean, the same song and dance, the boy who cries wolf. How long are you going to continue to believe this crap? And now, once again, we have different things coming out from different members of the Federal Reserve. So they're not speaking in one voice. They're not speaking in one voice. I think it's understood as a default that there are going to be differences of opinion. I think as far as all the communication is concerned, it needs to come from either a spokesperson and or the chairman, Jay Powell. And that's it. That's how it used to be. That's how it should be. Because you have these whipsaw movements back and forth. It's enough as it is. It's too much to come from a spokesperson or Jerome Powell or whoever the chairman is. That's too much in and of itself, but now you got all these other idiots coming out and making their statements, and it moves markets, and it causes confusion. You don't need to cause confusion needlessly. There's enough uncertainty in the world as it is. Because you have Esther George coming out and saying, well, you know, I was against the 25 basis point cut last month. I think we're fine where we are now. We don't need to cut again. Eric Rosengren coming out and saying, well, you know what? If we actually cut rates, it could actually be a bigger problem. And the reason he said that, and the reason why he's correct, is because he pointed, once again, to the leverage that exists in corporate America. We've had many podcasts on this. We're going to continue to have other podcasts on this topic because this is huge. This will be, I don't necessarily think it's going to be the catalyst, but it could be. And that being, of course, companies being downgraded, not being able to pay off their corporate debt. That could be a catalyst. I don't think it's going to be. I just think it's a huge domino that will fall. It will collapse, and it will knock a whole bunch of other dominoes down with it, and it will simply exacerbate and prolong and lengthen the duration of this next recession or possibly depression. But I don't think it's going to be the catalyst, although it could be. It could be. We'll have to wait and see what it's going to be. But President Rosengren of the Boston Federal Reserve was saying, you know, look, we continue to cut interest rates. It's just going to cause these corporations to put on even more debt. They're just going to continue to roll everything over. So it's just kicking the can further and further down the road, making this debt bomb that much bigger, that much more explosive when it actually blows. And he's exactly 100% correct. This isn't hard to grasp. This isn't hard to understand. But the question remains, will his message, will the message of Esther George, will that resonate throughout the rest of the FOMC committee? Because there are only two votes. There are only two votes. They voted their way to not increase rates last time. So, I mean, they could very easily be overruled once again. But I have to tell you something. I mean, if the Federal Reserve most definitely knows that they have had some communication blunders on more than one occasion in the very recent past. So to basically have these two bank presidents come out and make the statements that they're saying, it's an interesting take because they have to know their opinion. They have to know what they're going to say. So are they sending these two guys out there, Esther George, Eric Rosengren, are they sending them out there as a means to sort of prepare the markets that, hey, come next month, come September 17th and 18th, when we meet again for a monetary policy meeting, that we're most likely just going to hold the line. We're just going to continue with that 25 basis point cut from July, and we're just going to let it ride. We're going to see what happens. Because Esther George said, look, cutting interest rates, I doubt it's going to have any impact on the trade war with China. Because you have to remember, that's what Jay Powell said last month during his press conference. That one of the main reasons that we cut interest rates, this insurance cut, is because of the uncertainty centered around this trade war. And he admitted that they're shooting from the hip. We've never done this before. We don't know what's going to happen. Of course they don't know what's going to happen. But they did it nevertheless. And we know, and this is going to be a video, we know that when the Federal Reserve, when they go from a hiking scenario to a wait-and-see scenario to an easing cycle, or at least starting to drop off, to at least starting to cut interest rates, that's it. It's game over. The recession is on its way. That, in conjunction with a whole bunch of other data that we talk about here on a daily basis, the other things, the other videos that we showed already, all these things in conjunction paint that picture of recession. That's what we talk about here. We have to pick up the pieces. We have to put those pieces of the economic puzzle together to see what picture it paints. And we don't need all of the pieces in place to do a forecast, to give a prediction as to what's likely to happen. We definitely don't have all 100% of these pieces placed. And we know with a fair amount of certainty, playing the probabilities game, as to what we are likely to see, what we are likely to experience. I'm telling you, folks, it is not going to be pretty. It's not. And I think a lot of people know this. I think these central bankers are concerned. Because why else would they go deeper into negative territory? Why else would they start calling for more rounds of quantitative easing? Why is the White House so nervous and distracted with this? Again, the president didn't have to do this. President Trump didn't have to do this. He didn't have to take ownership of the stock market and the economy, but he did, like an idiot. And there's no other word for it. And again, for those of you who may just be joining this podcast, I voted for Donald Trump, thinking he would shake things up and he would, you know, maybe actually would try to drain the swamp here or there. No, not happening. Not happening. Draining the swamp, we haven't even drained the kiddie pool. I'm telling you, it's not good. And then they continue with these antics with the Federal Reserve. I'm fine with him blaming the Federal Reserve. It's their fault. A lot of it is their fault. But because of the lower interest rates, that's the bubble that caused this. That's why corporations are overlevered. That's why households, once again, have overtaken the amount of debt that was on their balance sheets during the Great Recession. $23 trillion, nearly, and counting, for Uncle Sam. Not good. Not good. So there is no draining of the swamp. We haven't even drained the kiddie pool. Households have more debt than they did during the financial crisis. Corporations have doubled the amount of debt that they had prior to the financial crisis. So, I mean, what do you think is going to happen? If you understand that low interest rates for too long caused the subprime crisis and everything else that ensued, we have even more debt in even more areas of the economy, the global economy. How do you think this is going to be a soft landing? It's not. And nobody has the backbone or the cojones to stand up and say, this is coming down. We're just going to continue to get tweets that say everything's fine. We're going to continue to get tweets that start to blame the Federal Reserve and call for them to continue pumping the system with more crack, with more heroin. And Wall Street is going to jump all over it until they no longer can. And when that day comes, it is not going to be pretty. But we're going to have to stay on pins and needles, too, to see what Jay Powell has to say tomorrow out of Jackson Hole, Wyoming. It could be a doozy, folks. The markets could take off tomorrow, or they could plummet. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Kuraitis. Godspeed.